An effort to define parks in Hainesboro Code will go before the Assembly. And the Haines School Board approves sex ed teaching materials. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more, up next. Haines is filled with green space and recreation areas. Even though a number of those places are considered borough parks, they're not officially defined that way in borough code. But that might change soon. At a meeting last week, the Planning Commission recommended an ordinance that would define parks in borough code. KHNS's Emily Files has more.
Clinkett Park is one of the most obvious examples of an area in Haines used as a park.
Hold on really tight, bud. Is that spinning real fast?
There are kids playing on the swings.
You want to get back on the swing, big guy?
Yeah.
All right.
There are dog walkers strolling along the footpaths. This looks like a park, but it and other recreation areas aren't officially designated as such in borough code.
Is Osland Park a park? Not in Hainesboro code. Is Emerson Field a park? Not in Hainesboro. Is Clinkett Park a park? Maybe.
That's Parks and Recreation Committee member Burl Sheldon at a planning meeting in May when this oversight in code came to light. Sheldon's committee proposed the borough create a park out of an empty lot on 3rd and Main. That proposal didn't gain traction because commissioners thought it might stifle commercial development. But the commission did agree on the need to define parks in borough code. Sheldon worked with Planning Commissioners Rob Goldberg and Heather Lendy to draw up a proposed ordinance fixing the missing piece. It's pretty simple. The ordinance essentially defines a park as an area owned or controlled by the borough that is devoted to recreation. It specifically designates about a dozen areas as parks, including Clinkett Park, Picture Point, Lookout Park, Cars Cove, and Osland Park. Here's Sheldon.
I think it's important to define parks and the standards of use that our community expects in these places that we call parks, and actually specifically naming those parks in the code.
The ordinance also addresses camping in borough parks. It prohibits camping except during special events approved by the borough manager.
A couple years ago, we had an individual who camped in Clinkett Park all summer, and that's perfectly okay to do, apparently, because it's not in code. With the new code, a simple approach was simply to say we're going to prohibit two things. One is camping.
The other prohibition is against cutting down trees in borough parks. Sheldon says the proposed ordinance is a starting place that could be amended in the future. The Planning Commission approved the Parks Code proposal with little discussion. Next, it goes to the Assembly for final approval. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
A new state law that's meant to give parents more control over their children's education has caused the Haines School Board to take a closer look at the high school sex education curriculum. This week, the board approved those materials. It was the second round of review after the board decided at its last meeting that the materials provided were not sufficient. Under House Bill 156, school boards around the state are now required to approve their sex ed instructor as well as the curriculum and materials used to teach it. Earlier this month, the Haines School Board approved science teacher Mark Fontenot as the instructor. They also approved the textbook he uses to teach sex ed. But they said it could not be the only material. Here's School Board member Sarah Chapel at the November 1st meeting.
The text that we were asked to review is not comprehensive in terms of all of the topics that I hope we are teaching in our classes, and so I think that we also need to approve those materials.
Chapel worried about the textbook not discussing topics like birth control and gender identity. Fontenot assured the board that those subjects are in the curriculum, but he teaches them from his own knowledge and therefore doesn't have many materials to show for it. The problem, argued the school board, is that under the new law, they need to approve all of the materials he uses, and parents need to be able to review those materials. They can then decide to opt their child out of that portion of health class. If he's teaching things that aren't in those approved materials, it could be against the new law. Fontenot agreed to compile a list of all the resources he might use to be inspected by the board. That list includes several websites and both male and female condoms. Here's School Board President Anne-Marie Palmieri at a special meeting held to approve the new materials.
I had a chance to look at some of it, and I was glad that it seems well-rounded and fairly complete, and it's all fairly reputable sources, and I think it'll be fine.
Fontenot listed three websites. The first is sexedlibrary.org, a website that provides information, statistics, lesson plans, and resources for professional development. It's a project of the nonprofit organization Sexuality Information and Education Council of the United States. It has lesson plans on both birth control and gender identity. He also cited the U.S. Department of Justice's National Sex Offender public website, but the sex offender portion of the website is not the section that he uses in his curriculum. It's an educational section of the website, which provides resources about sexual violence and abuse, dating violence, and safe relationships. The final website Fontenot provided deals with best practices for condom use, among other sex ed topics. Superintendent Tony Habra said any parent who wants to review the new materials will have that opportunity.
Any parent who makes the request to look at the materials will be is more than happy to get a book, which has some of the stuff that you've approved, and then we'll give them those links. And if they need a computer to sit and do it, they can certainly use one here in the building.
Assistant Principal Cheryl Stickler said the websites and materials provided do comply with the new law and its requirements for how information about the sex ed course is disseminated to parents. Without much discussion, the board voted to approve the materials. The Jilkat Kwan Cultural Heritage Center in Klukwan also serves as a visitor center for the Bald Eagle Preserve. The center installed a new fixture recently, just in time for this week's Eagle Festival. It's a microphone stationed along the Chilkat River that picks up sounds of the abundant eagles and broadcasts them in the center's lobby. Lonnie Hotch is the Cultural Center's executive director. She says the microphone installation capitalizes on the center's location right on the banks of the Chilkat River.
Oh, it's quite a spectacular view this morning. We've got some sunshine and we've got snow-capped mountains and the trees are frosty and the water is all shiny and there's eagles and ravens and seagulls. And we've even had a blue heron hanging about the past few weeks.
Now visitors can listen to the feeding eagles in addition to watching them.
Well, my thought was it gets really cold during Bald Eagle Festival, and it's hard to stay out on the riverbank indefinitely when it's so cold out and enjoy the eagles. So we thought we'd have a building where we could pipe the sound in and people could enjoy the view of the eagles from the comfort of a warm building and still hear the sounds of the river and the eagles.
There are also new educational panels that explain eagle biology and behavior. The Cultural Center is open this week for special tours and events during the Eagle Festival. On Thursday and Friday, there are guided tours with Hotch at 10 a.m., self-guided tours begin at 11 a.m., and lunch is served from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the neighboring hospitality house. On Friday, Scott Ramsey will give a presentation called Why the Eagles Congregate Here. That's at 1 p.m. For more information, visit jilkatkwanheritagecenter.org. Riding state ferries will cost a little more this summer. The Alaska Marine Highway System plans its next round of fare increases to start May 1st. That's when the new summer schedule begins. Spokesman Jeremy Woodrow says it's the second year of a five-year effort to equalize ticket prices.
What we're trying to do is bring similar distance fares into a similar price across the entire system. So you're getting what you pay for no matter where you are in the system.
Most fare hikes are small. An adult passenger sailing from Juneau to Ketchikan will pay $4 more. A Kodiak Homer ticket is up $2, and a Bellingham, Washington to Skagway trip, one of the longer routes, will increase $13. A few routes will have lower ticket prices. For example, an adult passenger traveling from Cordova to Whittier will pay $3 less. For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.